your integrity today. And so I'd like to read Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 to start. And we'll stand as we honor God, as we read his word together. And remember, I'm not talking about restoring your husband's integrity, your wife's integrity, your neighbor's integrity. I'm talking about restoring your integrity or mine. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you'll not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I'll never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, today would you open our ears? Would you help us, Lord, to see if there's a lack of honest integrity in our hearts? Father, bless us as your children. Help us today. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our church and all the other churches all across this nation were set up to be salt and light to the culture and the age in which we live. Unfortunately, too many churches and too many people in the churches are like the old proverb about the frog that got put in the water, and the heat just gradually picking up, and the frog doesn't even realize it's being boiled to death. Folks, the church is changing. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church in general. The church is taking on the culture in which we live. Instead of being salt and light, we're becoming just like everybody else. There is to be a difference. There is to be integrity in hearts. We are not to conform to this world. I know there's a huge draw. Nobody likes being told you're intolerant, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But there are things that the church should stand up and say, this is sin. I don't care how you feel about that. I don't care what your neighbors say about that. This is what God says. A man marrying a man. A woman marrying a woman. The Bible says very clearly it's what? It's sin. Committing an abortion. You can call it a fetus. You can call it whatever you want. Jesus said John the Baptist, as a baby at 6 months in his mother's womb, leaped for joy when he heard the voice of Mary. The Lord called it a baby. I'm going to call it a baby. It's sin to kill the baby. So there are things that we have to say are right and things that God says are wrong. It does not make us intolerant. It makes us believers in Christ who stand on the word of God. We don't have to hurt somebody else. We don't have to call them names. In love, we tell them the truth. And so in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we get a very severe warning from the Lord. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The way we get our minds transformed is not by what our culture says, but by paying attention to what our God says in His Word. We have to have our minds transformed because this world is always trying to get you to conform, to be just like them. So number one, if we're going to be people of integrity, we have to learn how to speak the truth. Not what we think, not what so-and-so said, not what the newscaster said. What does God say? It's the only way to walk in integrity as a Christian if we say we are seeking to live our lives according to what our God has said in His Word. We no longer live in an age of integrity. Most of you know about Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France, I don't know how many times, several times. And each time the question was, especially as he was getting a little older, how can he possibly do this without drug enhancement? Oh, no. No drug enhancement. None at all. And then we found out afterward he now has an asterisk after his name that he won all those championships with drug enhancement. Hulk Hogan. Those of you used to be the wrestling fans. Hulk Hogan said, no, I got these 26 arms the right way. I earned them. Well, turned out not quite so true. And a lot of the baseball stars, a lot of the soccer stars, football stars, basketball stars, we find out later it's all the same. Folks, this is not a time of integrity in our nation. When you listen to the news today, and I don't care if you watch Fox or CNN or NBC or ABC or CBS, how much of it do you believe? I have a very critical ear now for what I'm hearing on the news, because everybody has a slant. There's not integrity anymore. When I was a boy, you could listen to the news. Well, there's the facts. Now you decide what you want. But today they don't tell you the facts. They tell you what they want you to believe. And it's not integrity anymore. Integrity is a priceless commodity. Everybody thinks integrity will just get you in trouble. And I'll tell you, it will get you in trouble with the world. But it'll keep you right with your God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, even the church has lost its integrity, much of the church. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. In many of the states today, where Roe versus Wade, you know, was overturned for the nation, and now the states are deciding each one what is going to be the law and what are we going to do, the churches, many churches, are now siding with the people who are for abortion and saying that it's a woman's right, it's her body, she ought to be able to decide. If you follow the lawsuits that are coming in, many of those are being brought by churches and rabbis. And I can't think of the proper term for the mosque now, the Muslim faith. Imams. They're being turned in by those people saying that abortion should be a right, a legal right. And folks, that's the church. And it ought not to be. God said anybody that takes the life of another man is guilty of shedding blood. And their blood will be shed. I don't know about you, but I would not want to be a doctor or a nurse or even an aide that helps with abortions in this land today. I would not want to be in their shoes. Sooner or later, there's going to be a price to pay. God says that's a baby. Extremely important. So the verse that we're looking at, we're talking about living for Christ in a pretty much secular society. The people that this book was written to were in a pagan society. You think it's hard for us to live for the Lord today. When they were preaching the gospel, they were being put to death. hung on crosses, and spit on and mistreated terribly because they thought that the church was atheist, because you only had one God. Everybody knows there's thousands of gods. And that was why they got in trouble, not because they were preaching Christ so much, but because they only preached one way. You know, even in our nation today, people say there's all kinds of ways, aren't there? You know, you believe what you believe, we believe what we believe, it's all going to be the same. It doesn't matter if you go through Muhammad or if you go through the Hindu gods or you go through Christ. It's all the same. Folks, it's not all the same. Jesus said what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So we're going to be talking about integrity. And as we talk about integrity, I don't want you to think about Lance Armstrong or the churches that are going liberal or whatever else. I want you to think about your own life. Are you today a person of integrity? Are you living a life before the Lord that's one way and one way only? Or are you intermingling and becoming like those around you? So today we're going to be looking at Revelations chapter 3. And we're going to be looking especially at the church of Sardis. Sardis was the city of Asia Minor, and it was the capital city of what used to be called Lydia, the country or the area around it. And the city was already past its prime, but the Lord wrote to this church. In fact, he wrote to seven churches in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, and he gave them this announcement. He said in Revelations 3:1, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. They had an outward reputation of walking with God. They had an outward reputation of integrity. But they were not people of integrity. They were living a double life. And sadly, many people today are doing exactly the same thing. The word integrity means undivided or unbroken state and completeness. That's what it means. It's a complete package. When you claim to be a Christian, you're saying, in essence, Jesus is Lord. I am not. So a person of integrity would say what? Whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to do. What does the person without integrity say? That's what the Lord says, and I want everybody else to think that's what I'm doing, but I'm not willing to do it. That's called duplicity, my friends. And we have many, many people that are doing that in Revelation 3:2. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Unfinished. You can circle it if you want to. But Webster's definition of integrity is undivided, unbroken state, and completeness, or finished. So integrity is really being complete in Christ. He is Lord of how many areas of my life? Should be all. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody here can say he's Lord of my life all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. But it should be more and more and more. And sadly, for many, it's becoming less and less and less. The root word for integrity is integer. And those of you that love math, remember that an integer is a whole number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are integers. 1 1/4, 1 1/2. 1 3/4 are fractions. What the Lord wants is your whole life dedicated to Him. He doesn't want fractions or fragmentation as we so many do. Heard the story of a guy, he came out of a store and he found his fender on his car all crumpled up. And he looked and on the front of the car, there was a note under the windshield. And so the man went over to pick up the note. And he expected to see maybe a driver's license and a phone number or whatever, or insurance company. But instead, the man said, that wrote the note said, a lot of people are watching me right now. They think that I'm writing out my address and my phone number and my insurance company, but I'm not. It's just that they're watching me. And he stuck it under the windshield wiper. Okay, maybe some of you have gone through that. But the idea is many people want to appear to have integrity. They want to appear to be doing the right thing, but they're not. And that is a divided heart. And the Lord despises a divided heart. In Proverbs 28, verse 6, he says, better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. And you could switch that around just as easily the other way. Better a rich who is blameless than a poor that's perverse. It doesn't matter. Riches, one way or the other, it doesn't matter. What matters, what God's looking for, is a heart that's right towards him most all the time. I would like to say all the time, but I don't know anybody like that, including myself. All of us fall from time to time. But what the Lord wants us to avoid is a walk in that, a life that has no integrity and no intention of ever walking in integrity. So the opposite of integrity is a hypocrite, at least in today's vocabulary. I don't know if you know where the word hypocrite came from, but the word hypocrite wasn't a negative term years ago. It came from the Greek theater. In Greek theater, they had one actor who would play many, many different roles. And so every time the actor would play a different role, he would change his mask. Maybe he'd be playing a wolf for a minute, and he put on a wolf mask. And then later on, he'd be playing an angel, and he put on a mask for an angel and wings or whatever. And it was called a hypocrite. It just meant that he played more than one part. But each part that he played was a different person or a creature or whatever. Today, we've taken that word hypocrite, and we've turned it into a negative thing. One person playing many roles, the same person, for all the different things of life. And that's why the word hypocrite takes such a negative connotation, because each person should be true to the person that God made them to be. Playing different roles is fine when you're actually playing a different person. But playing a different role in your own life, when I'm with the guys at work, I'll swear and tell dirty stories just like they do. But when I come to church, oh, you got to be really careful what you say. One of those bad words could slip out. You know, you got to be careful. Folks, that's a hypocrite. That's what we're talking about today, is trying to play too many roles in life. We're wearing masks in front of people, knowing full well that we have no intention of ever fulfilling what God has called us to do. We just want you to think well of us. Because if you really knew what was going on in our lives, you might not like us. You see, it's perception today. It's not reality. It's not what's really going on in a person's heart. It's what role do they play? And so today we've caught that. Even the church has caught that. You can do whatever you want as long as people think you're doing the right thing. You know, you might fool your mom, you might fool your dad, you might fool your pastor, but you're not going to fool the Lord. He sees right into your heart, and he's looking for people with integrity. In Revelation 3:2 again, he says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Wake up to the truth of how desperately wicked our hearts are. And I don't care who we're talking about. You can talk about the guy that's trying as hard as he can to walk with God, and he still is in a desperate situation. None of us are perfect. And perfection is the only thing that God accepts. And so we have to be willing to admit our own desperate shape, that I too fall short. And I need the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 10:12 is something that we do all the time in the church and even out of the church. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Now, maybe you're here today and you think you are a person of integrity. And I hope you do. But you still have to admit, no matter how hard you try to live for the Lord, you still fall short also. Remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray? And the publican, the tax collector, wouldn't even lift his head towards God, but he beat on his breast and said, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." He admitted he was undone, but the Pharisee went into that same temple and he said, "Lord, I just want to give you praise that I'm not like other people. I'm not like that guy, that tax collector over there. I give tithes of everything I have." The Lord said what? The Lord said the publican went home forgiven and the Pharisee was not forgiven. Why? Because he didn't see himself undone. He saw himself as a person that had it all together. He was walking with God in integrity of heart. But he wasn't. And yet when I say he wasn't, I don't say that he wasn't trying to keep the law. But by the deeds of the law, how many people are going to be justified in God's sight? None. Why? Man, if I really tried hard to keep the law, why? Because James 2:10 is still in the Bible. It's not in our notes, but it's still there. It says, whoever keeps the whole law in every point, but misses it in just one point, is guilty of how much? All of it. So whatever that publican had done, the Pharisee also had done in God's sight. Folks, we are all undone. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to be taught God's word and to memorize God's word and to meditate on God's word, because we're all in the same boat. We're still sinners. We still need the grace of God in our hearts and life. So we need to speak the truth. First, you have to learn the truth. Then you have to speak the truth. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, then we will no longer be infants. Anyhow, I'm going to read verse 15. I'll read 14 and then 50. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Sometimes speaking the truth in love is you have to tell your mate, your husband, your wife, your children, what you just did is wrong. They aren't going to like it. And sometimes you have to speak that to yourself. And I'll guarantee you, you're not going to like that. When I have to admit to myself that what I just thought, what I just said, what I just did was wrong. Some of you maybe remember Fonzie on the old show. And Fonzie had a hard time saying wrong when it came to him. Folks, we all have that problem. We can point the finger at somebody else and we can tell them where they're wrong, but what we don't realize, when we point that finger at them, we got three coming right back to us. Folks, we're wrong too. I don't care how hard you try to walk with God, there are still areas in your life that are not right. Those have to be dealt with, and that's what I want to talk about today. Is keeping your eye on your own heart, allowing the Lord to open your own ears so that you can hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because sadly, we miss it. We have to know the truth, we have to speak the truth, and then we have to stand for the truth. And that's the one that's going to cost you. People don't care what you believe unless you're willing to stand up for it and do something about it. If you just believe that abortion's wrong, people, I don't care. But if you're going to tell me you're going to vote that women can't have an abortion in Michigan, you are an intolerant person. You are a hateful, spiteful person. No, I don't hate women that had an abortion. I don't hate the men that talked their wife into having one. What I hate is the abortion itself. It's murder. And so when you take that stand for the truth, it's going to cost you. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. There comes a time when godly men and women must stand up and must make some choices. The world is not going to like it. The world wants to do whatever they want to do, anytime they want to do it, and it's none of your business. Well, it is our business. Just as if somebody wanted to go and shoot you, and they could say it's none of your business. Well, it is our business. There are laws that are there for the good of all. God said that His word is the truth. And I know today we live in a secular society where they say there is no such thing as truth. But Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth, your word is truth. Now you may believe that, you may not believe that, but I believe that with all my heart. Even when it goes contrary to what I want, I still have to confess God's word is truth. And since it's not going to change, if I'm going to be a person of integrity, I have to change. I have to say, Lord, your way is right. The truth is this. I'm a sinner, and I'm still a sinner. I still fall short of the glory of God, and I need a Savior desperately. And I praise God that He supplied that Savior. Jesus Christ, who said He is the truth, is the only man to ever live a perfect life. Nobody can have eternal life unless they're perfect. And no matter how hard I try, I can't be perfect. But God, allowing His Son to shed His blood on the cross, gave a way for me to be declared perfect, and you as well. Faith in Jesus Christ's shed blood makes you perfect in God's sight. When I stand before my God on Judgment Day, He's going to see me clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be acceptable. I hope you're going to be in the same situation. The gospel means good news. And folks, it is good news. God found a way to save sinners. Everybody in this room qualifies. Aren't you glad that God wants you in His family? I don't know why He wants me in His family. You think about a God that knows everything. He knows everything I've ever said and ever done. And He chose to love me anyhow. Folks, that's the kind of love everybody wants. It's the kind of love everybody needs. But not everybody's willing to submit to it and admit that I can't do it myself. I can't earn eternal life. No matter how good I am, I'll never be perfect in this life. So I need a Savior, and Christ has provided it. People will say, well, yeah, you're a pastor. You received Christ because you were a pretty good person. You don't know what I've done. And I tell them the truth. I don't know what you've done. But I do know what Jesus Christ has done. And His blood will wash away all sin. There's no exclamation point or comma or semicolon after the fact that He will wash away all your sin. The Apostle Paul was a murderer of Christians, and God forgave him. Folks, if He'll forgive that, He'll forgive anything. We need a Savior, and God has supplied that. We need, and this is probably the hardest part, we need to surrender to God's truth. When God, through His Holy Spirit, remember the reason the Holy Spirit was going to be given? Was to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment? When we surrender to that, when the Holy Spirit says, Jerry, what you just did, what you just thought, what you just said is wrong, a person of integrity is going to confess it and say, yes, Lord, what I just did was wrong. A person of duplicity is going to try to hide it. When David committed murder and adultery, he tried to hide it for a whole year. He didn't get away with it. God came after him. David didn't go after God. God came after him. And the same is true today. Most of us, when we do something we know is wrong, we don't want to be around God. We don't want to be in church. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to pray. We just want to hide. Same thing Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. But God is the hound of heaven. He's coming after us. And through the Holy Spirit, He is going to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then you have a choice. I can admit what God says is true, or I can struggle against it. In John 8, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth, knowing the truth, set you free from? It sets you free from your own sinful nature. It sets you free to do what's right. You see, integrity is not doing what you want to do. Integrity is doing what you know to be the right thing to do. Jesus Christ wants us to come to the truth, acknowledge the truth, and walk in the truth, because there's no grace without truth. Grace is once you know the truth and you submit to it, then God gives his grace. There's no forgiveness apart from knowing the truth and submitting to the truth. After you know the truth and you submit to the truth, God then will forgive your sin. Judas knew the truth, didn't he? He knew what he had done was wrong in selling his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. But he never acknowledged the truth to God. He did acknowledge the truth to man, but telling a man what you've done doesn't get it forgiven. Only going to God and confessing to him and telling him the truth will bring his forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. What authority did Jesus have to teach those things? He's the creator God. He's the one that built everything. He's the one that knows best how things work in this life. And he's telling you the truth. When the Holy Spirit tells you, what you're doing is forbidden in my word, and you just continue to do it, what are you looking for next? I'll tell you, if you're a wise person, what you're looking for next, you're looking for judgment. You're looking to get discipline. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he does what? He disciplines every son and daughter he receives. So you know the truth. You're bound determined you're not going to walk in the truth. Don't look for mercy. Don't look for grace. Look for judgment, because it's coming. The Bible says if anybody sins and doesn't receive discipline from the Lord, it means one thing and one thing only. You're not his son or daughter. I never disciplined the kids next door, but I always disciplined mine. And our Heavenly Father is exactly the same way. We need to confess God's truth to others. There are things that family of yours and friends of yours do not know God has said. And they may never hear it unless they hear it from you. You may be the only member of your family that knows what God has said about a certain topic. And you've got family and friends that are not living it. You need to speak up. Authentic living is living not only for yourself, but living for those that God has put into your life to make a difference. You are salt and you are light. And I want to tell you, salt, put on even a little teeny cut, burns, doesn't it? People don't like it. I don't like it when somebody comes to me and says, Jerry, what you just said, that's not right. That hurts. But it's far better to have the salt in there to heal, because it also heals. We need to be salt and we need to be light. We're so ready to let the world know when God's doing great things, and yet when God's bringing punishment, how many of us like to put that? You know, if you're on the internet like I am sometimes, especially Facebook, people love to paste pictures of their weddings, of their good relationships, of their children, sports stars. They just scored another goal. Woo, woo. But what about when the child doesn't score any goals? How many pictures have you seen about, man, my kid tried hard, but he just didn't score at all. Yeah, we tried hard for a marriage, but it's falling apart and we need prayer. You don't see those things very often. All you see is the good, because life to us in America today is just a charade. It's a make-believe. Every picture you see, a husband and wife, they're always smiling big, and then you know that they're fighting every minute of every day. Folks, we need to be real with each other. We need to be honest with our Lord. We need to be honest with each other. We need to tell the truth. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And the fruit he's talking about is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not producing it, even if you are in Christ, he's going to cut you off. You're going to shorten your lifetime. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And I got to tell you, pruning is not pleasant to the plant. Pruning hurts. Even if you are producing fruit, the Lord loves you so much, he wants more fruit and sweeter and better fruit. And he will prune something in your life that you may love very much. And he's going to take it away so that you can be even more fruitful. So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now Jesus said, if you remain in him and his word remains in you, you're going to produce much fruit. If we're talking about integrity, I want you to check your life right now. Are you more loving today than you were last year? Are you more gentle today than you were last year? Does it take more to get you angry this year than it did last year? Are you growing in the fruitfulness of the Lord? We can't do this ourselves. We cannot produce God's fruit. It's not in man that walks to direct our own steps. We have to be connected and stay connected for the Lord to live his life in us and fill us with himself and overflow. If we don't, we're going to live an unfruitful life. We're going to be the hypocrite. We're going to be the man or the woman that does not walk in integrity. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you living your life with Christ as Lord? Are you intimately connected with him and learning more and more of his truth and allowing his love to fill you to overflowing? We don't have it in our notes, but Romans 15:13. Let me get it in my mind here. Came to my mind. I'm going to miss it. I better read it. I'm going to mess it up. Very important. Oops, I don't have it there. There we go. It just came to my mind, but it's not sticking with me good. Romans 15:13, though, tells us what the Lord wants in our lives. It's just that we have to want it as much as he does. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with joy. Is that you today? Are you overflowing with hope, and are you overflowing with joy, and are you overflowing with love? You see, it's all the gift of God. You can't make it. You can fake it, but people know the difference when it's his love flowing. So our Lord encourages us to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with others. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, in other words, it's their fault. The reason I don't have joy and I don't have peace and I don't have hope is because of them. That's what he's saying here. If we claim to be without sin, it's not me, it's them, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So often we have no joy, no hope, no vision of anything good because we blame it on others. It's when we take that on ourselves and say, the reason I don't have any joy and any hope is because I'm not connected to the Lord. I'm not letting him feed himself into me. Folks, it's so important you understand that. We need to be cleansed and stop trying to cover up our sin. In Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. That ideal of trembling before God is the fear of the Lord. It's a word you don't hear used much anymore. When I was a boy, they were still saying, there goes a man or a woman that fears God. And I would wonder, because I didn't come from a Christian home. What does that mean? Shouldn't ever be afraid of God, right? A man who fears the Lord trembles at his word because he knows God means business. When my dad told me as a little boy, if you play in the road, you're going to get a spanking, I knew he meant what he meant, or said what he meant. And I better not be caught playing in the road. So I tried to sneak around and get it done. But I want to tell you, our God says what he means. We need to acknowledge that, and we need to get our hearts right. When we fall, and we all fall, please believe me, I'm not saying you ought to walk in integrity like me, because I slip up too. What I am saying is when you find yourself not walking in integrity, when the Holy Spirit who loves you more than life comes to you and says, the thing you're doing right now is wrong. Integrity of heart says, I've got to get it right. I've got to do this God's way. Duplicity says, well, everybody else is doing it wrong too, so I guess I'm okay. Folks, God's not going to judge you with everybody else. God's going to judge you alone. It's just going to be you and God. And you're going to stand before him. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a person that tries as hard as I can to live in integrity. I want to hear God say, well done. I do. I hope it's important to you. The last thing I want to talk about today, you ought to have a good friend, male or female. If you're a female, it ought to be a female. If you're a male, it ought to be a male. For some of you, it may be your dad, your mother, your grandpa, your grandma. I don't care who it is. But somebody that you honor as a person that's really trying to walk with the Lord. And you ought to be able to share your heart with that person. It's so important to have somebody that you can tell the truth. That you don't have to be somebody you're not. In James 5:16, there we go. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. And I'm not saying to everybody, because there are people that will misuse the information. Find somebody of integrity, you know how to keep their mouth shut, that will pray for you, that will honor your word, and will try to help you. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If you know a godly man or woman that you can share your heart with, that's a friend to treasure, because their prayers will make a difference for you. Everybody here ought to find somebody. In Proverbs 11, verse 3, it says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. So integrity, as we said, is completeness. It's wholeness. I've got one thing. The Lord is Lord, and I want to be his child. I want to be honorable with what he tells me. Duplicity says, I've got the Lord as my Savior. I'm not going to go to hell, but I want to live the way I want to live. And I'm just not going to do what he says. Duplicity will destroy your life. It'll ruin your marriage. It'll ruin your home. So, one last time, Revelation 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him that holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. In other words, when you're living in duplicity, you're slowly. Remember the Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's robbing you. You think you're free, but all the time you're doing what you know you ought not, he's robbing you. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you'll not know at what time I come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out their name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so the question is today for you. Do you have ears to hear what he's saying, not only to the churches, but especially you as you're sitting here today? Are you going to determine that as far as I'm able and the Lord will bless, I am going to walk with my God in integrity? When I fall short, I'm going to confess it quickly. I want to get back right with God. I don't know about you, but I'm not crazy about judgment. And God says, if you're walking in rebellion, watch for judgment. I would much rather repent myself, turn myself around back to God, and find that peace that passes all understanding. It's there for whosoever will. Father, open our ears, open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to determine with all of our heart, we're going to walk in integrity. When we fall short, and we surely will, we're going to confess it to you. We're going to confess it to a couple good friends who will pray for us. And Lord, we're going to trust that you're going to restore us to the righteousness of Christ. Father, bless us now as we sing this last song. Father, may it be sung with hearts that are yielded to your Spirit. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It's number 410. I had written 398, but there's two songs with exactly the same name, and I always